When the church was established, they had that all the experience of the day of Pentecost. You remember? The day of Pentecost. By the time they had the day of Pentecost, they already had experienced their Passover with the Lord. And whatever feasts and first fruits and all that have passed by. Now, there was the day of Pentecost. And after that, they have the going out in Jerusalem, Judea, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. They spread the gospel. You see the book of Acts. The ingathering, all gathered together, Feast of Trumpets and Feast of Tabernacles. The ingathering. Then the church went into the dark ages. How did we go into that? They lost the word. Okay, if you take the word out of the church, we will be back to square. Because the word became the possession of a few. And those few interpret it for the rest, without the rest checking it for themselves. It was in a strange language, in Latin. Languages that common people didn't know. By that time, most of the people spoke English. When the first man wanted to bring the Bible into the common language, they killed him. They killed the translator. But when the word began to spread and they started printing the word, and the common people got the word in English, which was the common language in those days, the Reformation period started. When Martin Luther came to the scene, it was Jesus the Lamb. Justification by faith. The church begins to discover the Passover. Oh, hallelujah. And you notice, the first two feasts are close together. Immediately after the feast of Passover is the feast of unleavened bread. The 14th and the 15th day go together. And during the Reformation period is the time when the Bible movement spread. The word became available. The printing press was invented, and the first thing printed was the Holy Bible. The word spread. It was a feast of unleavened bread for the church. Then we move into the feast of first fruits. Feast of first fruits. You begin to see times. You see, a first fruits is a holy convocation, a call to consecration, call to sanctification. There's a harvest expectation, revival coming. And you read about those things in John Wesley's time. The Great Awakening. And then there was a second Great Awakening. So it was the Feast of First Fruits spreading. Revival. Evangelism. Then it came to the Feast of Weeks. The Pentecostal movement. My friends, we are now close, or we have moved into the Feast of Trumpets. The trumpet symbolizes two areas. Trumpets symbolize, the blowing of the trumpet symbolize the fivefold ministries being restored once again to church. It's in the 20th century, immediately after the Pentecostal movement. There may have been prophets, evangelists, and all those in those days. But they all began to function together, live in the same age. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. In the 50s, you began to see the evangelists restore. In the 60s, the pastors. In the 70s, the teachers. In the 80s, the prophets. In the 90s, the apostles. You began to see the restoration, the trumpets. Look at Numbers chapter 10 very quickly. Book of Numbers chapter 10. There are four reasons for blowing the trumpet. In verse 2, they were to make two silver trumpets. These are the four reasons. These are the four reasons for blowing the trumpets. It says that, in verse 2, you shall use them for calling to assembly. The trumpets are blown to gather the people together. And for directing the movement of the camps, in verse 2, for advancing. See, they got different signal for the trumpets.
for gathering and then for advancing. You have to have the right note. You cannot play ta 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 ta. You cannot advance. That is retreat. No, you advance. Ta 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 ta. You advance. So the trumpet blowers, important job. Advance. The third usage of the trumpets, and you notice it's a different advance. In verse 9, for war. Verse 9, when you go to war in your land against the enemy, you shall sound an alarm with a trumpet. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the trumpet for war. Number 4, verse 10. And also in the day of your gladness, your appointed feast, amidst all the feasts, at the beginning of your months you shall blow the trumpet over your burnt offering, over the sacrifices of your peace offering. It shall be a memorial. That's number 4. For a memorial. You notice in verse 10, they blow the trumpet. Every time it's the first day of the month, you know. Because somewhere outside, somebody sounds. Ta-ta-ta-ta! Then everybody awake. You know, it's the first day of the month. Isn't it wonderful? The first day of every month, they blow the trumpet. Ta-ta-ta-ta! And you know, hey, it's the first day. Let's get on with this month. Come on. Do the things of God. And then when they burn their burnt offering, while the burnt offering is burning, they will be blowing. Ta 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 ta. Fantastic. And every time they have all the different 7 seas, they will blow the trumpet. And with so much blowing of the trumpet, on the Feast of Trumpets, that is the first day of the 7th month, they sound it the longest and the loudest. And you hear that everybody says, hey, it's the first of the 7th month. First of the 7th month. They say it's August again. Whatever August is to them. You know why it's important? Because it prepares them for the most important day in the whole Jewish nation, which is on the 10th day. So on the first day of the 7th month, when you hear that loud trumpet sound, bah, 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 everybody says, 10 days later, the most holy day, when the high priest is going to enter the Holy of Holies. Everybody start preparing their life. Because if the priest, high priest is not accepted on that day, finish. It's very, very important, very solemn. And my friends, we are now in the Feast of Trumpets. Number one, it is a picture of the fivefold ministries being restored. Number two, it is the praise. Trumpets symbolize praise and worship. It's a move of praise and worship today, like it has never been in any age. We are in the times that you begin to hear praise and worship move into all those realms. Praise and worship together God's people. We are gathering together unto Him. Praise and worship to advance. You know? And it tells us, you know, rise up, be strong, you know? Tells us to advance. And you never have that before, but now you have praise and worship for war. You have warfare songs. Not like the old onward Christian soldiers. Now our war tune different. Right? Different. It tells, come on, soldiers of God, all going for. Never in any time in Christian history do you have as many war songs as you have in our time. For war, cause for memorial. It talks about the times that we are living in. Because my friends, the Day of Atonement is symbolically the day the rapture takes place. And it's not far from the Feast of Trumpets to the Day of Atonement. I'm not saying that it has to be 10 days. Frightening. Nobody can ever predict the rapture. Anybody tries as a false prophet. But we know it's close. very close. We need to be prepared in doing what God wants us to do. Feast of Tabernacle. Behold the tabernacle of God shall dwell with man. We shall be with Him eternally. That's what it symbolizes. God with us, in us, eternally. And we with God. And so Leviticus closes with a majestic chapter. Chapter 27. Which tells us choose blessing. We are given a choice to walk the road of God or to walk the road of the devil and the way of man. We are given a tremendous choice at a crossroads, and we need to choose holiness. In the second portion of the book of Leviticus from chapter 18 to chapter 27, you always hear this statement, I am Jehovah your God. I am Jehovah your God. It is almost like a key theme in the second half. I am Jehovah. You see, in the first part, be holy, be holy, be holy. But in the second part, I am Jehovah. I am your God. Jehovah is a sacred special name that God gave to the Hebrews. In the first part, it tells us, come to me. Come to me. In the second part, He reveals Himself to us. Leviticus, sacred book of God. May God reveal Himself to us when tonight, let's pray. Father God, we praise You and we thank You for Your grace and for Your mercy. We ask, O God, that You will stir the hearts and lives of each one of us. As we look at the Word, we know, O God, every dot and every tittle shall not pass away. Every single word and letter is important and it contains a revelation, O God. We pray that the Spirit of wisdom and revelation will come upon the hearts and lives of Your people, even tonight, O God. That when they go home, they will bow their knees before You to say, O God, we will live our lives by Your Word. And only by Your Word, Lord. And we will govern our lives by Your Word. Because we know that's the only key that we need to have. And to follow Your Word. You have said that those who love You will love Your Word. We pray, O God, for each believer here and those who hear these tapes, O God. That as they hear Your Word, may they once again hunger for Your Word. May they once again read the Bible like they never read before. May they understand, Lord, there's tremendous revelation and truths and Word that they have never seen before. And may the eyes of the understanding be so enlightened to see the deep things of God in Your written Word. Father, we give You glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus' name. Or can we sing that song, Glorious, Marvelous, the Blessed Jesus, the one that Pastor Joseph sang? Can we rise together and sing that song? Could one of the singers or what sing along and sing that song? Now, if you have a need here, or whatever areas, whether you need a baptism in the Spirit, you need healing, now is the time we're going to pray with you. If you were here earlier in the ministry just now and you want us to want to test you up, I want to just pray with you and praise God for the healing and just anoint you before you go, you come right up as you stand.